calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Good evening, and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located at the parking lot of the Groton Public Library in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be your net control station for this evening. Because of the issues we've been having with the repeater in the past, I just want to make sure everyone understands that our backup, our secondary repeater is the 146.97 repeater, also with a PL tone of 156.7, also known as the Waterford repeater. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen, even when they're having dinner. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures.
Golf, Kevin, located in Norwich. No questions to bring up. Just wanted to check in. I may not be available for the whole net. I'm waiting for a business call, but I wanted to let you know I was here and recording.
Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
That never helps. Okay. talking about field day, there was a couple of items that I saw, some of them not so happy. One of them is in Pennsylvania, radio amateur dies in the tower installation mishap. This was Lee Parsons, N3LPJ, lost his life on June 14th during a ham tower installation project when a section of the tower he was working on collapsed in the township of Gibson. He was 62 years old and was apparently attempting to attach a guy wire to the bottom section of the tower when it went over. The article cited also cited that there was a 2009 field day tower collapse that claimed the life of 57-year-old Larry Prelog, KE4PM, an experienced climber, while he was installing an antenna. In that incident, two legs of the base of the tower buckled. And adding to that, there was also a discussion about the death of Reverend Paul Fittner, W0A1AIH, who was 84, a well-known radio amateur, who lost his life last October when he fell from one of the towers at his extensive antenna farm in Wisconsin. So that brings to mind the fact that between that and with some of the experiences other people have been relating about grounds and making sure that your equipment is grounded for the electrical aspect of it, this hobby does have its dangers. Let me reset. So with the field days that happened just this past weekend, I'm glad to say that at least at the one that was at the Lectured Fairgrounds, there were no mishaps. There was proper grounding and bonding of equipment. There was proper safety equipment around, from fire extinguishers to markings and so forth. And I did not hear any reports locally of any of the field day activities of people getting hurt. But I figured I'd bring that up as a topic. And also just say that we had a wonderful time at field day. And even had one of the newer hams made his first HF contact, which was fantastic. Maybe we'll hear more about that from one of the attendees tonight. So let's go down the list and see what people have to say about that or anything else that comes to mind. This is KC1TWR, net control to Kevin, KA6PDG.
All right, thank you, Tim. Good evening to the gang. And I haven't got my call yet, so here I am. Well, that's a good topic you bring up, and what it reminds me of is something that I don't know if it's been part of the culture locally, but having some insurance coverage for special events like Field Day. And I know it is available, well, last I knew anyway, I haven't looked into it in years and years, but through the ARRL, you can get all kinds of liability insurance and that kind of thing. And that might be something to pay attention to in the future. God forbid it should be needed, but if it were needed, it would be needed. That's all I can think of. So I'll pass back to Net Control, KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all three of the major clubs in the area, Scrams, Tri-City, and Raison, all do have liability insurance coverage. I know last year in Waterford, we had to actually add the town of Waterford to the policy for the day of the event. We weren't asked that by Ledyard, but I do know that we have a policy in place. So that's always a good thing, and hopefully that's the same policy you're talking about. And with that in mind, we'll go ahead and see what Josh thinks about all this with towers and what have you. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. With all the somber news that we get in the news often, I don't like to harp on stuff that's depressing like that, but I'm sure if they did a root cause analysis of the failing towers or what have you when the person was working on them, I'm sure they're going to find that some safety step was misdone or not done sure that you're safe is, you know, the way to go. But it's about all I got, so I'll pass it back to net control. KC1TWR, K0JB.
Thank you, Josh. And first off, if some subject that we're talking about it makes you feel uncomfortable, feel free to bring up some other subject. Absolutely, you don't have to follow what's being discussed at the moment. But in harmony with what you're saying, that's very true. I mean, it could be a person gets complacent. Could be that materials are not, have been overworked, and the person didn't pay attention to that. Could be that they didn't pay attention to the weather forecast. They're putting guy wires and it wouldn't change directions when they didn't think it would. So there's all numbers of reasons, and I'm sure there was an investigation done. And, my mind started to go to another place and it just came back again. So, and we'll keep this in mind talking about towers. Hopefully next year we'll be able to put up Tom's Tower again. That would be good. And, speaking of towers and things of that nature, on Facebook I saved the picture. Club for Fuel Day made contact with a historical fire department and arranged to borrow their extension ladder truck and actually raised up at a 45-degree angle, extended it, and put an antenna at the top of that, a beam antenna. So it was very beautiful. And with that, let's see what Bob thinks. K1RMN, this is KC1TWR, net control.
Yes, good evening. This is K1RMN. Well, safety-wise, I think we did a pretty good job up there this last weekend. We had our ground set up the way we wanted it. We had our generators far enough away and all the things we needed. As far as the accident, without having any facts, I wouldn't want to speculate on a thing because I just don't know anything. So it's a very sad thing whenever it happens. Be really interesting if we could find an old fire truck or somebody with a bucket truck that we could raise something up. Maybe I'll have to start looking into that for next year. Definitely ready to start looking at sites for next year as well. Had a good time. Caught up on my sleep at this point and looking forward to getting ready for the next adventure. This is K1RNN, back to net.
Thank you, Bob. Yes, I think, well, quite a few of us are finally catching up on our sleep and catching up on all the extra effort that was put in. Even the efforts of just gathering all the equipment that was needed and hauling into the car and hauling out of the car, setting things up, tearing it down, putting it back in a car, take it back, put it up and downstairs where it belongs, all those things. I do have another subject we can switch to after we go one full round, but let's finish off this round with Dave. K1DCT, this is Tips Net Control, KC1TWR.
Oh, good evening to all those on the net. This is K1DCT. Well, accidents do happen, and like Josh said, there'll probably be, pretty thorough investigation as to what went wrong, and I've seen a lot of those types of things working in the electric utility industry. It doesn't take much sometimes. Misstep something and take your mind off the task. Things can happen quick, and it's usually not just one thing. What I learned through some investigations into accidents is it usually tends to be a multiplier. There are usually several things that went wrong, so very unfortunate. But when you're playing with towers and that kind of stuff, that you really need to keep your wits about you. And other safety items, I didn't hear any of you mention, although I was in the same town where your field day was. I had my own private field day on my rogue adventure, and I only operated for a short time because I heard lightning. Good thing my headphones don't fit that tight. And I heard some lightning and took my antenna down and packed up and before the rain came. So that's my little field day adventure. I was one Bravo, battery power, 5 watts or less, CW only, and I made 13 contacts in about an hour, a little more than an hour, so I had a good time, and my own little rogue operation. So back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave. Sounds like you enjoyed field day. And yes, we did. I know what you mean about the, we didn't mention the thunder and lightning, what have you. And we didn't get much thunder and lightning where we were, but we were aware of it. We had an early warning system called Our Wives that contacted us. KT1SS was contacted by his wife with a report of hail in Griswold. And so looking at the weather radar, we noticed that there were indeed pockets of storms coming down through, and we did get quite a heavy rain and very windy. Fortunately, we had, by the time it arrived, we had disconnected the antennas. We had covered all the equipment with blue tarps, clamped down and what have you. And so we survived quite nicely, but it was an interesting experience, and it helped fulfill the prophecy, if it's field day, it must rain. So we'll see how that goes. At this point, I'm going to do another round of check-ins, and this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and all those that would like to join, please call now.
That's, I suppose, a possibility. I don't know. That's, and then is it a true story or not? I think that's too many variables. I think you have to have one variable, not two. But then I live in a fantasy world. I cannot think of what the solution to the two problems may be. So I'll sit back and listen to those who are much smarter than I resolve the tentativity. I made that word up. Tentativity. K6PDG.
Spoken like a very wise old amateur radio operator, Kevin. I will say one thing. The item that they missed, you did actually mention at some point during your conversation. And but let's see if Josh might have a good guess on this. K0JEB, that's KC1TWR.
K0JEB. Tim, I was in the middle of having a discussion with my son. If you could repeat the question real briefly, and I'll give you my answer.
Sure. That's a nasty habit that parents have of required one. Okay, the National Radio Retransmission Legion has issued a statement that northern Montana in the town of Golden Spike, the Gold Diggers Amateur Radio Club has decided to disband. The reason being that while they had set up everything perfectly for field day with tents, antennas, and food, lots of food and varied food and everybody bringing something for potluck and all kinds of stuff, they had forgotten one vital item or type of item, and consequently field day was a disaster in their eyes. So the question is, what was the item, and is that story true?
What would happen is that, and this is not within the ham band, is
that this person would make unauthorized transmissions consisting of brief pre-recorded sounds such as the sad trombone sound. And what happened was that the complaint was made. The FCC spoke to the individual in question. The individual denied it. The FCC then sent their investigators who were able to trace down the transmission to his house. He swore he would never do it again, and he had stopped. And let me reset for a second. Direction finding equipment while they were doing that, but then after they had an agreement with him that he would no longer do that, the noises started up again. So the FCC sent their agents again with their direction finding equipment. They found him driving home from work with no transmission. They saw him park the car. They heard the sad trombone sound on that municipal frequency, and the direction finders indicated it came from his car. Then the sound stopped, the car started up again, and drove home. And hence, he was then fined $7,500 in a civil penalty and forced to give up his license for 3 years. Is that true or false? Let's start with Kevin, if he's still around. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Alrighty, well, I'm going to go with true on this one. I hate to say it, but things happen. So we'll mark our paper true and see what the teacher says at the end of the quiz. KA6PDG.
Okay, Kevin, we've marked you down as a true. Josh, what do you think? K0JB, KC1TWR.
K0JB, I could go into more detail, but I know for a fact that story is true. Back to net. It's K0JB.
Okay. Well, just the fact you said you know for a fact makes me wonder, but we'll ask Bob. Maybe he's got a better story. K1RMN, KC1TWR.
This is K1RMN. I don't have a better story, but I have to agree with Josh that it happened. K1RMN, back to net.
Okay, and last person to vote, Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR, net control.
I also, I have actually read that story, so yes, it's true. K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. I was wondering if somebody would make that noise. yes, indeed, it is true. And it was in one of the ARRL newsletter publications, WS2L in Highland Park, surrendering his amateur extra class license and paying the $7,500 civil penalty. They also removed all radios that can make that work on those frequencies. So that's unfortunate when someone, especially an amateur radio operator, does that, but it is what it is, and the proper process was followed, and it's another segue into fox hunting. And now that field day is over, it's going to be July soon, in August, and I'm wondering if maybe a fox hunt would be a good thing. And this is the Tips Net, and I'm going to ask real quick for any other call-ins, any check-ins, please call now. Okay, no check-ins. So, field day. And I know I've spoken to a couple of new hams who have expressed interest. I've spoken to an older ham who's also expressed interest. And I've also spoken to my sister-in-law who has expressed interest because she teaches a course at Maps and Compass. And she even just bought me a very nice compass and was teaching me how to use it with a map and to allow for the difference between true north, magnetic north, and what have you. So it should be interesting. So I'm trying to figure out what's going to be the best weekend for that. But obviously not the weekend near July 4th of the fireworks. Or at least I don't think that would be good. table or any other subject anybody would like to discuss. Let's start at the top of the list. Kevin, KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Present and accounted for. All right. Well, I got, I failed one exam and I got the other one right. I'm okay. Yeah, better than I did in school. Yeah, I think a summer fox hunt would be a good idea. And for some reason, my mind went to, and this is not any kind of secret, so I'm going to go ahead and mention it. It has been talked about on the air in the past. When you talk about a fox hunt in the summer, and I'm thinking, oh, a fox hunt on the beach, or a fox hunt in the woods, or a fox hunt on Long Island Sound, I'm thinking silly thoughts. But then I remembered that the Horizontal Engineers Group, Horizontal Engineers Net, which has been going for years and years, and Joe K1IKE could speak to this in more detail, but years ago, I guess one of the, I don't know whether he was the founder of the Net or what, he of course is, has passed, but he left several hundred dollars, and that could be used by the amateur community, and I think it was said that his preference was, he was very much into social activities and things like that, that it might be used for something social. So Kevin's mind is going to, let me just reset, a nice, well thought out summer fox hunt, maybe in August or something, that would also involve a great big ham radio picnic, and the picnic would be paid for by this money. That was one of the ideas that was put forth as to how to spend the money, because again, the guy was very social. The money has been sitting around for years and years and years, and I think K1IKE is would just as soon, you know, see it get used so that he doesn't have to worry about it with as he turns his focus to other things, let's say. So, just an idea, and I don't speak for the Horizontal Engineers, it's just a thought. But in answer to the question, yeah, summer fox hunt would be cool beans, K6PDG.
Well, thank you for that, those thoughts there, Kevin. I've heard that story before, just like I've heard that there were certificates that the Horizontal Engineers used to hand out. But, I'm trying to think what else Horizontal Engineers would ever use the money on, and I don't know, but maybe we'll talk to Mark, KB1RAY, because he's been running that for years now, and see what thoughts he may have. Maybe get a discussion going between him and Joe and so forth, and see if maybe something could be done. And you're right, there are different types of fox hunts, both on the ground as well as in cars, and I presume in boats, although that might be different. And there's also the CW QRP fox hunt that takes place, I think, it's every Thursday night, about 9 p.m. our time for 90 minutes. Dave might know something about that when we get down to it. But in the meantime, we'll go to Bob, Josh, K0JEB, see what he thinks about another fox hunt.
TWR, K0JV.
Well, thank you very much, Josh, and we'll definitely keep you in the loop of any discussions that I'm part of dealing with fox hunts. And, Bob, what's your thought on fox hunts or any other subject at this matter? We're at this point, K1RMN, KC1TWR, net control.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. I would love to do a fox hunt. I think I've got the stuff for it. Just my schedule hasn't permitted me to attend any of the past things, and I think I want to hang out with Josh on my first one and see how he does it, because he seems to find the fox. So happy to do that, and also looking forward to Islands on the Air. I got to just check my schedule and make sure that I hopefully can make it to that event this year as well. That would be two in a row, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Fox hunts, ready to go. K1, RMN, back to net.
Very good, Bob. Yep, fox hunting definitely sounds like the way to go. Because you brought it up, I should mention that Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is planning an expedition to Sandy Point Island on, I think it was the 20th, July 20th, which is a Saturday with a rain day of the 21st. We tried to submit for that to be part of the Islands on the Air that's run out of the UK, but unfortunately it's within 20 meters of land, so there was another reason, two reasons why it can't be. However, the United States has their own Islands on the Air, and it gave that island two designations, because half of it is in Connecticut and half of it's in Rhode Island. And we were told as long as we set up somewhere in the middle, we can give out both identifiers to those that are trying to make contact. So I thought that was pretty nifty. Okay, fox hunting, islands, what else? Let's see. Dave, K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, plenty to talk about. Fox hunt, I'm up for a fox hunt. I can try and squeeze it in. Dust my equipment off again, and I'll be ready. And horizontal engineers, it meets on 6.7. I can't hit 6.7 from home, so I haven't checked in a very long time. But it did make me dig through my file here, and I actually do have a certificate number 32 from the Horizontal Engineers Net from 1986. It's under my old call sign, but so one of those guys probably had to, Chappie, Carl, Fred, and Tom were we'll call them the instigators of that net. So I'm glad it's still hanging on, but like I said, I can't check in from home. And let's see what else. Oh, the CW fox hunt. I am not familiar with that. That's interesting. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, Dave, I will dig that up from the ARRL email, and I will send you the link to it and see what you think of it. It runs every Thursday for about 2 months, I think, during the summer. And, we'll have to see if Mark has any thoughts about doing the certificates again. And on top of that, quick question back to you, Dave. Do you use Echolink, or have you used it, or do you have any inclination to use it if the Groton repeater gets an Echolink node attached to it?
Yes, I have used Echolink. I'm signed up. I loaded onto my phone here. Maybe I heard that, and maybe I just didn't latch on to that little piece of information, so I'll have to go check that out. Thanks, K1DCT.
Okay, well, wait before you check it out, because they did some experimentation, and it does work. They even for a short time had it tied in with the Norwich repeater through both Echolinks. However, right now the Groton Echolink is not functioning. We are working on getting a computer and getting things tied into it. So one way or the other, we're hoping to have Echoscan on the Groton repeater at some point. And it's possible that with the Waterford repeater, if it's really getting back to being back to normal again, they might switch to that, so maybe you'll be able to reach that repeater without even Echolink. But either way, hopefully we'll be able to get that to work. Okay, it's about 7:41. I know some people join after the 7:30 mark, so I'll just repeat that my name is Tim, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. I am with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and this is the Tips Net. You do not need to be a member to join the net. All amateur radio operators are welcome to join. Please call now.
Good evening, Iris. Whiskey 1 Julia Oscar Papa. Excuse me. Whiskey 1 Julia Oscar Papa, John, City of Groton.
Recognizes John, W1JOP. Further check-ins, please call now. John, we're going to give you instant service, and the question is, how long have you been listening, and do you have any comments on what you've heard so far? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
The only thing I can comment on that I know about is a horizontal engineer's net. I remember that net way back in the 90s. My old call sign. I never got a certificate. I think Q1IKE did the certificates back then, believe it or not. And it's a good name. I recognize most of the names that Dave mentioned. Oh, I think it was Dave. No. DCT mentioned. And, you know, that was pretty cool. But as far as the other question goes, I'm not really 100% sure what that was. So I'll turn it back to that. This is W1JOP.
Okay, well, first of all, yes, it was Dave, K1DCT. Number two, the Horizontal Engineers Net is on every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at 7 p.m. on the Groton repeater. So if you want to join, dial in at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday on the Groton repeater. And a quick question to you before we go to the top of the list. Fox hunting, is that something that you're interested in? If one is arranged sometime in July or August? Back to you.
Yes, it would be. I was only involved with one, and it was, I already told the story once, I won't say it again, unless, you know, whatever. But, about 10 years ago, there was a dead carrier on 6-7, and I remember myself, KV1, PVF, and, some other gentleman in Groton looking for it, you know, using HTs without the antennas, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Anyway, back to the W1GOP.
Yes, indeed. I do remember the story involving a boat. And that's one of the reasons why fox hunting is so much fun, is that it actually has a practical purpose when needed. So, not only for those who are using sad trombone sounds, but also for those who got a microphone slipped down between the cushions, keyed itself on, and or book fell on it, or any number of reasons. And of course, if you're transmitting, you don't know you're transmitting because there's no sound coming out of your speaker. Okay, so we've got some full circle here, and we're going to go back. I think we'll have one more round discussion before we get to sections 2 and 3 for the announcements and the swaps area. And I guess my question to Kevin is, I know it's only Wednesday, but have you heard any activity on your deck? Is there hope? K6PDG, KC1TWR. having heard his phone call, must have finally arrived. Good. I'm glad. So, I would ask the same question of Josh, but I don't think his deck needs any work. I think it's still doing pretty well. So I will ask, as of our discussion earlier this evening, how did it go with stringing your next antenna? K0JEV, KC1TWR.
K0JV, stringing the antenna went good. I guess my bad eyes and my measurement is off. I'm gonna have to lower it back down and do a little trimming. I think I made it a tad bit too long or tad bit too short.
Josh, I'm glad to hear that the fishing pole's working out. Not glad to hear you have to pull that back down again. You got me thinking, well, anyhow, I was thinking about that ladder line that Tom WA2RYV used at the Red Cross building to make the 4020 using parasitic effect. But you're using speaker wire, and I don't think that would work with that. I think you need some kind of separation between the two elements. But I could be wrong. If so, somebody will correct me, hopefully. And we'll move on to Bob and ask how your GoKit is going and any other comments you might have on this last part of this segment. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
K1RMN. The Go Kit is in pieces. I've got the case downstairs now, and I got the two shelves all laid out. I've just got to start laying out the components, the radios, and the different items, and then I'll lay out the power wiring and the RF wiring. And maybe in another month or so, if I have enough time, we'll get it done. I have a few other projects I need to work on around the farm before I really get into that one. But I think I have everything I need to really get going. That's about it. This is K1RMN. Back to net.
Okay, very good. And glad you're working on it. Slow but steady wins the race, as they say. And we'll hope everything works out for the best for it. And Dave. Oh, hold on. Okay, it worked. Okay, Dave, get ready to copy a URL for the QRP Fox Hunt summer rules. And apparently they're also winter rules. I'll say it again if you tell me to, but I'll start right now, www.qrpfoxhunt.org. Not very cryptic, it's qrpfoxhunt.org, and that should get you to the site on that. So, having given you that, any comments for this last segment of this section of the TipsNet? K1DCT, KC1TWR.
I think I'm all set. I copied that fine. I will I'll go check it out. I do like QRP and CW, so sounds like it's right in my alley. So, thank you very much for that. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, you're very welcome. It's always good to find a contest that fits like a glove, as it were. And just- John, I know you just joined us. You've heard a little bit about things going on. And I guess one of the questions I have for you, we were talking about WeatherNet on an email string earlier and so forth. And WeatherNet means possibly bad weather, which means possibly hurricanes and what have you. Do you have a GoKit or do you have plans for a GoKit? For myself, I kind of have plans for a GoKit, but I haven't started working on it yet, so I'll plead the fifth on that part. So, what are your thoughts? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
W1JOP. I just have very rough plans for one. I've always wanted one. Just that I really haven't had the time to get around and thinking about what I want to do with the one. But yeah, it would be nice to have at some point. And yeah, the WeatherNet. Yeah, that's another thing. But yeah, anyway, back to that. This is W1JOP.
Okay, thank you, John. And so you're like me, we're about equal there, I think. And I think maybe we'll save that topic for next week, unless somebody has a question or something next week, obviously. But next time we don't have any questions, maybe we'll have a session talking about GoBoxes. I'm going to do some research now and then, because I've seen some GoBoxes that are as simple as a HT with extra batteries and a AA battery pack that fits on an HT that can go in a bag or something so that it's there when you need it. And I've seen all the way up to where there's Go kits that have VHF, UHF, HF, and camera and mesh. So, you know, Go kits can be many things, and I think the most important thing about a Go kit is it, if you have one, regardless of size, shape, or color, is it really ready to go, and did you borrow anything from it for a field day that you would then forget to put back and realize it when you had needed it? So, those are thoughts. Okay, it's now about 7 minutes of. Do a quick call out, and then we'll get to sections 2 and 3. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, this is the second section of the tip set, where we get into announcements and items of interest. So if anyone has any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest, please call now. Repeater will be off the air starting at about 9 o'clock on Friday morning. Not really sure how long the maintenance will last, he didn't say, but hopefully it's not going to last too long. They're also then going to start work on the Vauxhall Street water tank, and that will start at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if all goes well, Harrison's going to reinstall the APRS Digipeter in the Vauxhall Street extension. Okay, third section, cell swap. We're looking for amateur radio items. Anyone who wishes to discuss anything like that, please call now. Any last check-ins, please call now. Okay, I'm going to close the net at this time. I'd like to thank to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, which this one's going to be July 9th, at the American Red Cross office in Montville on Route 32. The meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, whether you're licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at their website, tricityarc.com. We'd like to thank John WAN for the use of this Salem repeater and the fact that it worked beautifully this evening. Very happy about that. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. Next week I will start to call out to see who might be interested in performing as net control for the TIPS net. We kind of do this in 3-month segments, so I'll be asking Kevin and David if they're up for another 3 months or not, and anybody else that would like to join in the fun. I will now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.